Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Acts 1, beginning in verse 12. Acts 1, verses 12 through 26. This is God's Word. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David, concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. With the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong. His body burst open and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this. So they called that field in their language, Akeldama. That is, field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in it. And may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So they proposed two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. First of all, who all was there? It says they went back and they met together, but who's the they? Well, he tells us. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. And they all joined together in constant prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. Now, there are some men and women who are not in that list, but who are just mentioned sort of as a group. What's the deal there? Because it's talking about who were the 12 minus one, and then these other folks were there too. That's important because we're about to have one added back to make it 12 again. But those folks met together constantly for prayer. They were meeting constantly. Now, It helps to understand that they were under duress. I mean, Jesus, their Lord and Savior, had been crucified, which is the worst form of death that Rome could apply to a criminal. But then he left for heaven. So Jesus not only has died and been raised again to life and met with them and instructed them, but Jesus told them that they should go back and wait in Jerusalem. These folks were meeting together day after day, night after night, continually in prayer. Why? Because they were aware of how critical their situation was, and they knew that the Lord had told them to wait in Jerusalem. Jesus didn't say what day it was going to get answered. Jesus didn't say, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's going to come. He just said, you go wait until it happens. And so they obeyed. And it was in obedience to God, with a clear awareness of their dependence on Him and their vulnerability, that they were meeting together to pray. I believe that we would do well to spend more time in prayer. I thank God, one of the most beautiful parts of our liturgy, if you will, is that start of the service when we are silent before the Lord, just seeking His face together. I believe that's one reason that the Lord's hand of blessing is on this congregation, because we come together and recognize He is the one that we're here to worship. He is the one that we need. He is the one that we seek. So there were about 120 who were there. And that included the 11, and it included others, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, along with Jesus' brothers. And Peter spoke up. Now, Peter sometimes, in the past, spoke up and said things that were not particularly appropriate. Most famously on the Mount of Transfiguration, when he suggested building three booths, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah, treating them all equally, as if that would be a good thing, because it says he didn't know what to say, so he spoke. But this time, it's not inappropriate. And what he says is actually pivotal, because look at what he says about Scripture. And by the way, Peter, who had messed up so horribly, denying Jesus when Jesus was on trial, and Peter was scared, and he denied him three times, now he has been redeemed, and he has been reinstated by Jesus. Look at what Peter says about Scripture. This is vital. Verse 16, brothers, the Scripture had to be fulfilled. Who does that sound like? That's what Jesus said. Over and over, Jesus would say this had to happen because the Scripture said so. He had spent the time after the resurrection teaching them, you were slow to believe what the Scriptures said. When he was pressed by his enemies before his crucifixion, Jesus would say to the religious people, you err because you do not know the Scriptures, the power of God. God has said this. Scripture says this. The Scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David. Who spoke the words of Scripture? God. It's His word. This is what God has spoken through various servants in several languages across centuries. And you know what? It's all true. It is God-breathed. The Holy Spirit spoke long ago through through the mouth of David. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who've been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. What does he say? Not maybe we ought to choose somebody. He says it is necessary for us to do this. Why? Because it is written, may another take his place of leadership. That's Psalm 109, verse 8. Apparently, Peter knew the scriptures. And so he's quoting from the scriptures, first from Psalm 69 and then from Psalm 109. And he says, this is what we need to do. Their behavior was based on the Word of God. If you want a model for how to live, how to make decisions, how to treat other people, how to conduct business, if you want a model of what we should do, we need to base our behavior on the Word of God. What does God say to do? So, they based their behavior on what God says. Verse 21, therefore it is necessary for us to do this. Why is it necessary? Because God says this. And based on what God says, this is what we need to do. And immediately the others all chimed in and said, Peter, you know, I don't get that from that verse. That's not, no. The Holy Spirit bore witness with all of them that that is what they needed to do. And so we see there the qualifications for the 12. The 12 apostles had to be people who had been with Jesus from the time of his baptism forward. They were witnesses of his ministry and of his death and of his resurrection. There were, when they were going to choose, there were two guys that were chosen as qualified. They were both qualified, more than one qualified person. And it doesn't say they were the only two qualified people in the room. But there were only two who were put forward as candidates because they wanted to leave the final choice to God. And so, what did they do? Verse 23, they proposed two men. Verse 24, then they prayed. That's what we need to do. Not sure what to do? Ask God. We were talking recently with someone about the value of when your child has a question, teaching your child to ask God. God's not too busy for you. Seek the Lord. Inquire of him. Say, Lord, I want to do your will. I'm praying for your kingdom to come and your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that includes my life, my family, my house, my job, my community. I want your will to be done. So Lord, please guide me. I'm putting this in your hands. I want you to direct my steps. You know, if you're willing to do that and really turn it over to him, not just get his advice, you've heard me say this before, but a lot of people want to know God's will so they can decide if that's what they want to do. Okay? I mean, it's like, I really value God's input. Okay? And I would like to know what he says, and then I'll see how that fits with my comfort level. You know, I have to think through some of the ramifications. If I were to do some of the things God says, it could cost me my job, okay? It could offend my family. It could upset my neighbors. So, you know, I do want to hear what God says, but then I get to make the final decision because, you know, it's my life. That's your attitude, A, you're not going to be directed by God, and B, you're going to come to the end and hear him say, I never knew you. We need to be writing God a blank check every day. saying, Lord, I'm yours, and I want to do whatever you want me to do.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two men we should choose. Now, show us which of these two men you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. That's a powerful statement. And then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. Okay, Pastor, I have some questions about this passage. First of all, I mean, they chose Matthias. No, God chose Matthias. Okay. God chose Matthias. I don't understand. I mean, you know, if you say so. I don't say so. The text suggests it very strongly. Okay, but we don't hear any more in the New Testament about Matthias, so I think maybe they missed it. They should have waited on Paul. Okay? They just didn't know that he was going to be an apostle. And so they kind of got ahead of themselves here because they were trying to have something to do while they're waiting for the promise from on high. And so maybe they shouldn't have done this. Oh, really? And your reason is what? Well, because, I mean, you don't hear any more about Matthias. How much do you hear about Nathanael? Oh, I guess not. Well, he was one of the 12. Most of the 12 you don't hear any more about until the book of Revelation. But Paul was chosen for a different purpose and for a different audience primarily. He had a ministry to Jews and Gentiles, but God used him in a breakthrough way in ministering to the Gentiles. Their ministry was focused on the Jewish believers. Now, casting lots? I mean, really? Nothing else about that in the rest of the New Testament. Apparently, after the Holy Spirit came on them, we don't do that anymore. Well, that's up for debate, but what were they doing? It was not unlike flipping a coin. It was not unlike rolling dice. It was a means of doing something which, from our perspective, brings a random result. But doing it because we know that life is not random. Proverbs 16:33 says, the lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision, it's every outcome is from the Lord. I want us to ponder that for a moment because it's really important in terms of how we live our lives. God doesn't say, oh, boy, I should have seen that coming. God is sovereignly in control even when people are doing things that God hates. God isn't saying, well, I wish I could do something, you know, but I gave people, you know, the capacity to make choices, and now I just kind of have to hope it turns out right. No, God is sovereignly working out his purpose. So you and I need to understand that when seemingly random stuff happens in our life, God's still in control. A tragic automobile accident. A genetic mutation. Corrie ten Boom, who suffered so much in the cause of Christ, used to say over and over, there's never a panic in heaven. There's never a panic in heaven. Folks, that's good for us to know. That's how you find peace that passes understanding. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand what's going on. I don't know how God could work good out of this. But I do know that God knows. And he's at work. He's at work right now. He's got a plan. So, the lots used by God in order to display whom he had chosen, Matthias. But one more thing. We've said again, as we have so many times, that Scripture is God's word. It is God-breathed. But I heard somewhere that there's a little bit of a conflict between the way that Luke describes both the death of Judas and also the purchase of the field, okay? Because Luke says concerning Judas, it's inserted as a parenthetical beginning in verse 18, with the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong, and his body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out. And everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language Akeldama, and that is field of blood. In Matthew 27, it says that Judas hanged himself and that he, you know, threw the money back into the temple, and it was the folks at the temple who actually bought the field. And so, you know, gosh, if we got a problem here, I mean, I know that you always say the Bible's true and it's trustworthy, and yeah, we don't have a problem here. Have you ever known somebody to trip and fall and their intestines burst out? It doesn't happen. Well, have you ever heard of a body kind of bursting? Oh, yeah. Well, how does it happen? It's a body that is no longer alive. Like, for instance, if a guy were to hang himself and decay, okay? What happened? Well, apparently, after Judas hung himself, he was left there. And then, whether the limb broke or the rope broke, or he broke, he hit the ground and went pop. And it was so grotesque, everybody heard about it. And that field, which had been purchased by the priests with the money that belonged to Judas, which was blood money, the field became known as a field of blood for more than one reason. One being it had been purchased with blood money. And two, it had become a field that was filled with blood and gore. So you're saying basically once again, we should just accept what the Scripture says. Yeah? We should accept what the Scripture says, and from that, just like with the part about lots, we should be reminded that God is sovereign and that he is to be obeyed. We should know his word, believe his word, and obey his word. That's what these folks did. One more point. They did it while in obedience, waiting on the promise that Jesus had given them. You and I are waiting on that which he has promised for the second coming of Christ. Jesus is coming again. He's working out his plan. Until he comes, we need to follow what his word says, trusting and obeying.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.